WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Steve Kathan. A major strike underway today in five states and Washington, D.C. 75,000 healthcare workers at Kaiser Permanente, represented by a coalition of unions. Demarius Reyes is a medical assistant. She says they want better pay and increased staff.
They have a lot of employees that are very knowledgeable with a lot of potential. And the fact that they don't want to invest and they don't want to bargain in good faith is very disappointing.
The history that played out yesterday in the House of Representatives, the removal of the Speaker of the House, has left questions about what's ahead and who might succeed Kevin McCarthy. CBS's John Dickerson.
We're stuck at the moment. Until there's a new speaker, business will basically come to a standstill. What's going to be required to move forward on government funding and addressing any of the problems that America faces is compromise, working together, all of those things that this small number of Republicans kicked out a speaker for engaging.
Ohio's Jim Jordan says he'll run for speaker. The Supreme Court taking up a case today that would make it harder to sue hotels when their websites are not clear about their accommodations for people with disabilities. Well, the judge issued a gag order in the Trump civil fraud trial yesterday, but that didn't stop the former president from speaking as he entered court today.
This is a railroad, and it's the beginning of communism in our country. This is the beginning of communism.
A railroading that's the beginning of communism, he said. In Baltimore, Police Commissioner Richard Worley vows to make arrests after the shooting last night at the Morgan State University campus.
There's a total of five victims, ages 18 to 22. We believe all have non-life-threatening injuries at this time.
The shooting happened as students were heading to a homecoming event. Overseas, correspondent Chris Livesay in Rome reports on a major Catholic conference going on at the Vatican.
It's been called the Super Bowl of the Catholic Church. Bishops gathered from around the world to discuss hot-button topics, such as whether or not priests can get married, or whether women can become deacons, or whether or not divorced and remarried Catholics can have communion. The Synod is already historic. It's the first time women and lay people are being allowed to vote. However, 80% of participants are still bishops.
Well, the jackpot is $1.2 billion for tonight's Powerball lottery drawing. Ticket buying is a group effort for Matt Katz and others on New York's Long Island.
We run a friends and family lotto group, Powerball, Mega Millions, whenever it's above $500 million. $10 per person, end up between 80 and 105 people.
Checking Wall Street, right now the Dow is down 116 points, S&P down 7, the NASDAQ is up about 35 points. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed, because Indeed's all-in-one hiring solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Hi,
the Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
For WCFW and the Tap FM, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. Eau Claire police are searching for a suspect in a bank robbery. The police department said a man took an unknown amount of cash from Wisconsin Credit Union on Eau Claire's west side Monday afternoon. The man fled on a dirt bike, which was found on a bike trail south of Eau Claire. The suspect is white, bald, with a mustache, and is 5'10" to 6 feet tall. Anyone with information is asked to call the Eau Claire police. The FBI is helping with the investigation. Wisconsin Assembly Representative Katrina Shankland of Stevens Point announced she's running for Congress in Wisconsin's 3rd District. Shankland is the fourth Democrat to declare that they are running for the seat, joining Rebecca Cook of Eau Claire, Tara Johnson of La Crosse, and Aaron Knights of Milwaukee, who plans to move to La Crosse next spring. They'll likely be facing incumbent Republican Derek Van Orden, who was elected this past spring to replace longtime Democratic Congressman Ron Kind. And the National Weather Service says temperatures will be in the mid-60s today across the Chippewa Valley. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Do you support the legalization, regulation, and taxation of legal cannabis in the state of Wisconsin? You said yes! Melissa, that was like 12 years ago! What do you think the hang-up is?
It's the Republicans. They're suffering from reform madness. They're out-of-touch legislators in the Capitol building who don't want to give a win to Governor Evers and Democrats.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
He shouldn't even have BLTs that are a terrible sandwich.
Oh, I love BLTs.
That's so like do ones, I.
The one deli sandwich I could have.
Greg, don't yuck my yum, dude. I will.
We've already established on this show today that Greg is happy to judge people's yums.
Bring me your yums, for I am the yum judge.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Under the helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown.
Jordan Love was 15 for 27 for 245 yards and three TDs against a JV team.
Oh, my and, God. I mean, I don't like Chicago, but I ain't going to call them a JV team. They suck, but it's a slap in the face. Okay. I'm laughing at y'all Bear fans.
I know, man.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger with Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday mornings at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup. Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
The Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Matinere.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin, locking in for hour two with Joseph Heckey and Jane Matinere. Greg's on the big board, and we've got a very special guest this hour who we'll get to in just 1 second. First hour, we talked about the chaos in Washington, D.C. yesterday. Of course, there's been some chaos here in Wisconsin as well.
Yes.
And so to join us to discuss some of that and some of the solutions, perhaps, when it comes to strengthening our democracy is former Wisconsin Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. How are you, sir?
I am doing just fine. How you doing?
We're good. It was quite a day yesterday. You know, craziness in Washington, a letdown for our Milwaukee Brewers. I was there. Got to get game two. Thanks for joining us, Mandela. Woke up this morning in the Wisconsin Examiner. WisconsinExaminer.com has commentary from Mandela Barnes. The Freedom to Vote Act safeguards our democracy at a critical moment. This is obviously a timely topic, given what's happening in this country and here in Wisconsin when it comes to democracy. Before we get to the op-ed, before we get to the Freedom to Vote Act, Mandela, I was wondering if you could kind of share with the listeners why you have dedicated yourself now to an organization called Power to the Polls and what Power to the Polls is all about. I don't think I need to tell anybody. You had a lot of options after serving as lieutenant governor, and this is where you're choosing to invest your time. Why is that, and what is Power to the Polls all about?
Yeah, well, first of all, I want to say thanks for having me. Second of all, I want to say I hope you've been funny because, you know, you got some shoes to fill.
I can't be as funny as Kristen if I try. It ain't going to go well. Funny,
sir, he's been very funny, very funny.
All right, so I'm here for the jokes, man. Here for the levity, but I will say, you know, the partnership with Power to the Polls may be new, but the cause isn't. You know, I can tell you from my days organizing, even in the state legislature, even as a lieutenant governor, stand up, making sure that people have the right to vote, making sure that people can show up to the polls and have their ballot cast, and not have this intrusion from Republicans. And this is an ongoing fight. Not just in Wisconsin, but all across the country. But I can do the work here in Wisconsin, and I'm going to make sure that we do everything we possibly can. And Power to the Polls is the right vehicle to make that happen. This is a group that's a Black-led organizing project that was co-founded by labor, faith, and civil rights groups. And this is to inspire and engage and truly get people to understand what their power is. This is less about us saying, hey, you should vote for that person, you should vote for this person. It's about making sure that folks know exactly why why they should be showing up to vote and helping people to make that informed decision. And, you know, that work doesn't just start 90 days before Election Day. That work starts now. We are talking to voters right now, talking about the issues in real time as they happen. Over the course of the spring election, we invested $1 million and we had people on the ground. We had 175 organizers. We knocked on 88,000 doors. But we did this in Milwaukee, Racine, and Green Bay. But we also had a statewide mail program. We ran digital ads and we even did radio. And this is the holistic approach we're taking. This is exactly why we're starting to talk to people right now. We saw an increase of more than 44,000 voters in Milwaukee compared to the 2019 Supreme Court race. And four of the candidates that we mobilized behind won their election. And the one that we didn't win was the special election in the 8th Senate district, where we came within a hair of flipping a seat that had been Republican for quite some time.
Thanks for that. That was Lieutenant Governor, former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, joining us on Asgo's Wisconsin this morning. Easy for me to say. and that's tremendous work and a tremendous impact at a time when it's so important. You know, we see over and over again that some actors, some Republicans, are trying to make it harder to vote, period. This problem, though, is particularly acute for Black and brown communities. And so to see an organization like Power to the Polls step up and ensure that people know how to participate and how important it is that they participate is really to be commended. So thank you for your leadership on that. I want to turn to some of this chaos we've been seeing in Wisconsin. You mentioned the spring election. We the people of Wisconsin, by an overwhelming majority, elected a new state Supreme Court Justice, Janet Protasiewicz. And in the wake of that, we are seeing threats by some Republicans in Madison to impeach Justice Protasiewicz before she has even ruled on a case. And it has been said that what they are trying to do is overturn the results of an election by taking someone out of a seat of power just to serve political ends. And I just want to see if you had any comments on that. You served in the legislature with many of the folks involved. How serious should we take this threat to democracy?
Yeah, and, you know, on the front end, you said that, you know, too many Republicans want to attack the right to vote. You said some, but the reality is there's too many Republicans that want to take away the right to vote. And what's happening right now with the duly elected Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz, this is just a naked power grab. But we saw even in Washington, D.C., they decided to mutiny their own for political ends to push an extreme agenda, as if Kevin McCarthy is not an extreme Speaker of the House an extreme Speaker of the House. But this is how far they'll go to push their radical agenda to keep taking us backwards and backwards. It's an example of how low they'll go in this state and across the country. And even with Megan Wolf, election officials in our state are nonpartisan. What they do isn't guided by political or personal interests. This is to enact the will of the people, to enact the laws of the state of Wisconsin as they pertain to voting. In a time where we see threats to election officials, even election observers, poll workers, people are quitting at record rates because of the constant threats that have been lobbed to them by Republicans, the fact that they are ginning up their base to push these and peddle these conspiracy theories. This is incredibly important for us to have leaders in these positions, you know, in a position to make sure that our elections are carried out freely, securely, and most importantly, safely, and especially the people who are administering our races. Now, the Freedom to Vote Act, this is something that extends protections to state and local election officials that shields them from partisan influence and gives them the resources that they need to carry out their responsibilities. And this is why we see so much pushback on something so simple as a piece of legislation that will help grow our democracy.
Yes to all. And in fact, you kind of took the words right out of my mouth there. But just so people understand this, so with the Freedom to Vote Act and the John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act do is provide a federal solution to prevent some of these shenanigans that we see at the state level. And so just for one example, you know, the Freedom to Vote Act would ban partisan gerrymandering. That's what a lot of this Protasiewicz conversation is about. And so to me, that's one that jumps off the page Lieutenant Governor Barnes mentioned some of the other pieces of the Freedom to Vote Act. I wonder if there's another one in particular, Mr. Barnes, that you find particularly compelling and why you are so passionate about this issue.
I was just, for those watching, I just laughed because he called me Mr. Barnes. You are never this way to me. So I don't know why you want to do this
it
now.
It feels too informal to refer to you as Mandela, yeah, my guy.
Are, I guess the comedy has arrived. But with that being said, with the Freedom Vote Act, you know, there's also the recruitment and training programs for new election officials and poll workers, in addition to keeping them safe. And as I mentioned before, this is something we absolutely need. We need to recruit and train more poll workers, people who are literally carrying our democracy on their backs. And these are nonpartisan roles. Republicans are poll workers as well. Republicans are election officials as well. And so this seems, you know, if you have a problem, if you have an issue, if you have a hunch that things aren't going well, sign up to be a poll worker. You know, be a part of the process. That's what I tell people all the time. You know, even when I talk to schools, especially when I'm in high schools and I talk to students who are getting ready to become voting age, and you know, you'll always get a couple who are like, you know, why is it important to vote? You know, nothing's going to change. I was like, Well, of course, nothing's going to change if you don't show up. Or people who feel that, democracy and our elected officials and politicians are, you know, just these abstract beings. It's like, well, no, you have an opportunity to be a part of it. And if you think things are that bad, that's all the more reason to show up to vote. It's all the more reason for you to be a part of the process.
What's the response from young people when you encourage them to do things like, hey, don't just register to vote and vote? Be a poll worker. You know, I think back to in the wake of President Trump being elected in 2016, we saw an outpouring of women around the country running for office for the first time. I wonder if some of these attacks on the voting process and on our democracy are hopefully encouraging young people to step up. Are you getting that sense that people want it, that these young people want to be part of that solution?
Yeah, so I can honestly say with younger people, I haven't necessarily pushed, becoming a poll worker. It's a little tougher for somebody who's in college or high school.
Those are long days.
But in general, in terms of democracy itself, you know, I say, look, if you're frustrated with an elected official, run for office yourself. You know, and voting is one thing, but you also have the opportunity to step up to run for office. So I think these are parallel conversations, whether it's becoming a poll worker or seeking public office. These are ways to get involved and serve your community.
Well, and I would think, too, I mean, because one of the Republican contenders for the presidential nomination, Vivek Ramaswamy, wants to raise the voting age to 25.
Yeah, I don't get it. We are talking with former Lieutenant Governor Mr. Mandela Barnes. He's going to stick with us after the break for one more segment talking about the Freedom to Vote Act. Check out at wisconsinexaminer.com. Commentary from Mandela this morning. The column is The Freedom to Vote Act Safeguards Our Democracy at a Critical Moment. I'm Joe Zepecki. She's Jane Mattenair. Greg Box on the big board. We are coming to you on the Civic Media Radio Network. After we wrap up with Mr. Barnes, more calls, more texts. Don't be shy. Let us know what you think. And come on back after the break.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Aaron comes in every day looking like he just stepped out of a Turkish bathhouse because it's so hot in there. Just to recap, so far the segment has been filled with dog vomit, old men peeing, and Aaron wearing a dish towel. So we're...
Hey man, your name's on the show. Your name's on the show.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get to around 71 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the southwest at around 10 to 20 today. Clear tonight, 51 tomorrow. Partly cloudy, cooler 65 than on Friday. Cloudy, showers, breezy, and a lot colder with a high on Friday of only 50. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 67.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. And Mr. Barnes, I want you to know that this vibe of this music is a better reflection of how I feel about you than calling you Mr. Barnes. We are, of course, speaking with former Lieutenant Governor, Wisconsin Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes about the Freedom to Vote Act and how it can safeguard our democracy at a critical moment. That's available at wisconsinexaminer.com this morning. A couple of questions relating specifically to the Freedom to Vote Act and the John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act. We saw just this month, maybe it must have been last month, that a judge blocked the use of national mail voter registration applications in Wisconsin. And I'm wondering, Mandela, if you anticipate further attempts like this to block voter registration ahead of next year's elections. And if so, what should state lawmakers, what should federal lawmakers be doing to ensure people across our state can register to vote and participate?
I'll tell you, I always expect this stuff, sad to say, but that's why you have to remain vigilant. And anytime we see progress, anytime we experience a victory, we always have to assume that they are going to come back even stronger, or at least attempt to come back even stronger with their attempts to limit our democracy. So with suppressing the vote being, you know, topic du jour for Republicans seemingly every day, it's important for us to do the education work. It's important for us to do the organizing to let people know exactly what's going on and why these attempts are consistently being made. And with us getting closer to the 24 election, with the importance of that election growing every single day, with the intensity of the election growing every day, especially as they are on the way to nominating, a candidate with multiple indictments. You know, we could be looking at a Republican candidate for president who was the former president, you know, making campaign stops to the courtroom before he goes to a rally, which he's already pretty much doing, raising money off of his legal woes. Now, with that being as it is, the only way we can stop them is through the enactment of federal standards while we have the opportunity to do so. And we need to make sure that we transparently outline the voter registration process. And, you know, this establishes automatic online and same day registration. This helps improve access to the polls, and it also increases participation. And when we have increased participation, we also increase trust in the process. And, you know, this, you know, the Freedom to Vote Act also calls for universal vote by mail as an option and 2 weeks of early voting. And, you know, we're fortunate here in Wisconsin at this point to have same day registration and to have vote by mail options. But we need to tighten it up so that these, you know, these provisions can't be impugned by Republicans.
That's right.
I'm curious, Mandela, what your response was. They have Republicans have demonized early voting and absentee voting for, a decade at least. And now Glenn Youngkin of Virginia is like, early voting, it's the way to go. Let's do this. Is that not just hilarious?
It is very hilarious. It's always hilarious when, you know, they are attacking the same things that, you know, their voters also use. This is not a Democrats voting by mail or Democrats get to vote early. This is the American people getting to exercise their right in a way that has evolved with the times and the changing circumstances of people's lives. And that has zero respect for any political affiliation. Doesn't matter who you are, who you plan to vote for. You still should be able to have, you know, increased participation in our democracy.
Mandela, one of the things that I think we all understand is at play here is that as important as it is for Republicans to try to make it harder for people to vote, they're also trying to make it seem like it's even harder to vote than it is, right? Like that's, they believe that there is a political benefit to them if people just go, you know what? I can't be bothered.
Too much hassle.
It's too much of a hassle. I don't want to deal with all that. People are afraid they're going to wait in line for hours. And so I guess my question is, what do you say to combat that kind of like jaded approach and to people who are buying some of that and being like, man, I ain't got 4 hours to go vote? You know, I'd just say, well, it doesn't take 4 hours, but there's got to be a better message than that. What do you say when you encounter that kind of skepticism?
I look at it as I look at many other things. You know, I try to wake up and run in the morning. Is it always fun? No. Is it always enjoyable? No. But I know the food I like to eat, and I know that that food is going to give me a lot of trouble on the back end if I don't do something on the front end. And so I look at voting and participating in our democracy the same way. One, no, it's not going to take 4 hours to vote. You know, it might be just a little bit of deviation from your normal routine. We're talking about, you know, here in Wisconsin, four times in a year, spring and fall election, primary, general. You may get a special election in there somewhere. We're talking about four times out of the year in most instances. And with that being the case, I think that even if you have to spare 20 to 30 minutes, which is still not very likely, even in a presidential election, you don't have to wait 20 to 30 minutes. It is worth it for our future and making sure that we have leaders in place who are going to fight to improve our quality of life. I think that that is one of the easiest investments that we can make in the next generation.
Last question before we let you go. You know, obviously a strong supporter of the Freedom to Vote Act and the John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act. Many of us wish that you are in the United States Senate and in Congress today to push for these. You're not, but people are listening. What is your message to leaders in Congress like Tammy Baldwin on this issue?
Yeah, I may not be in office, but it doesn't mean I'm not going to continue to fight for the right thing and for every member of Congress, whether it's Tammy Baldwin, who has a consistent history of fighting for the right thing, or other people who don't. This cannot be more important for the future of this country, making sure that people believe in democracy, respect democracy, and participate in it.
Maybe if there's 16 or 17 more elections for speaker on the Republican side, they'll understand how important it is to have some federal standards and safeguards to make sure these elections, whether they're for speaker, whether they're for president, are safe, secure, free, and fair. Thank you so much, former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. We appreciate your time. We appreciate your leadership. And we will talk to the rest of you on the other side of the break. I'm Joe. She's Jane. This is Askos, Wisconsin. Thanks, Mandela.
Hey, thank you.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
CBS News Brief. 75,000 Kaiser Permanente healthcare workers are on strike in five states and D.C. James Bell is a radiographic technologist in California.
Kaiser has been negligent in their responsibilities to the frontline healthcare workers, and more importantly, to our patients, for not addressing this current Kaiser staffing crisis.
Jim Jordan of Ohio says he'll run for Speaker of the House. How will it all shake out after Kevin McCarthy's ouster? Former Republican Party spokesman Kevin Sheridan.
I don't know. There is no good answer right now. These guys are going to have to get behind closed doors and work it out.
Not just radio and TV. Today's test of the National Emergency Alert System is also going to hit your cell phone.
They weren't necessarily tuned in throughout the daytime to be able to receive a warning if ever there should have to be one.
Wade Whitmer of FEMA says the alert happens at 2:20 p.m. today, Eastern Time. CBS News Brief. I'm Steve Kathan.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
For WCFW and the Tap FM, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. A report on embattled Chippewa County Sheriff Travis Hakes was released on Tuesday. The report describes Hakes as a loose cannon and that he lacks in training, leadership, integrity, and competence. It also describes his interactions with coworkers as inappropriate and accusations that he mismanages the department. He also used the office for personal gain, according to the report. Hakes dismissed the report as politically motivated and vowed to fight against being removed from office. The Chippewa County Board of Supervisors will vote next week on whether they will oust him. The vote comes after a closed session meeting about Hakes last month, where the board voted to look into removing the sheriff. One board member publicly called for Hakes to resign after the report went public. In a release this morning, the board confirmed that Hakes is on its agenda for October 10th and that Hakes declined to be a part of the investigation. And the National Weather Service says temperatures will be in the mid-60s today across the Chippewa Valley. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Red Delicious, Honey Crisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
It's What's on Tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap. Don't go crazy.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. We're not stone cold crazy. That's the Republicans in Congress. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Coming to you across the Civic Radio Network.
You got it.
I got it.
You got it.
I'm Joe. She's Jane. 844-967-2789. Your calls, your texts this half hour, whether on the big question from the first hour, did Democrats do the right thing in expecting some accountability from Kevin McCarthy, or on the conversation we had the last half hour with former Wisconsin Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, author of a column this morning in the Wisconsin Examiner. That's wisconsinexaminer.com. Mandela Barnes, the Freedom to Vote Act safeguards our democracy at a critical moment. I want to just take a second because I think this closed really strong, and I would encourage people to read the whole thing. But this is a great summary of what Mandela is fighting for and why it's so important. He writes, "Wisconsinites are tired of partisan games. They just want their fundamental rights. I'm glad leaders like Senator Tammy Baldwin have answered these calls and remain steady in their commitment. Over the past 2 years, Senator Baldwin has championed legislation that secures our democracy, including both the Freedom to Vote Act and the John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act. In a time where toxic election denial and voter suppression divide us, we need lawmakers like her. The landmark voting rights legislation now before Congress ensures that we can hear every voice, count every vote, and allow our democracy to thrive. As we stand at the brink of the 2024 election, there's a consensus, irrespective of party lines, that our voting system needs protection. The Freedom to Vote Act and John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act are the answers, and I hope that Senator Baldwin's colleagues join her in her commitment to enact these bills in Congress. When policies reflect the needs of the people, progress is inevitable. It's not about politics. It's about extending people the unobstructed right to choose their leaders."
Absolutely.
Pretty well said.
Absolutely. Wisconsinites don't like cheaters. We're tired of the cheating. We're tired of the gerrymandering, which is exactly what that is. It's cheating.
And to a point I made during that conversation, among the things that I think are so interesting and so relevant at this moment is the Freedom to Vote Act would ban partisan gerrymandering, right? Yes, we've got a court case. Yes, we are all hopeful that the court weighs in a way that takes the politics out of this so that politicians stop choosing their voters,
right,
and voters can start choosing their leaders. And if federally they would enact such a law, a lot of this would be a lot easier.
But then again, this is not in their self-preservation interests. It's not.
I actually genuinely wonder about that. Ride with me on this journey.
All right.
One of the reasons that Donald Trump was able to win a narrow victory in 2016 is because he was able to activate people who had not been part of the political process for a very long time.
True.
Right?
Yes.
That even though, like in Wisconsin, we are usually first or second in the country in terms of voter participation, upwards of 80%, which is really, really great.
That is great.
20% of people not voting, we don't know how those folks are going to shake out. We can probably intuit that they're pretty frustrated with politics in general.
But sure,
that doesn't mean that they are liberal or that they are conservative. And if we were able to instill more confidence in the electoral process and politicians were held more accountable because they were able to be held more accountable by things like fair lines, don't you think that that would actually bring some of those people into the process? When people came into the process for the first time in 2016, it redounded to the benefit of Republicans. And listen, I personally, Joe Zepecki, Democratic strategist, I don't want to see that. I want to see Democrats win elections. But I'm not so sure that all of this necessarily is to the political benefit of one side or the other. It's just the right thing to do.
Absolutely.
It's just the right thing to do. And that's, you know, one of the things that the Trump era of our politics, and that truly is what it will be known as, right? That from 2015 to 2016, when Mr. Trump came down the elevator, to probably another 5 years, whether he wins or loses, this will be the Trump era of our politics. And we will look back on it and go, what good came of this? And I will just say, for me as an individual, it has really clarified my thinking on issues of grave consequence and what this country means and what the Constitution means and the rule of law. And I want a fair fight. And sometimes my side's going to lose. And that is the essence of representative democracy. And so I really, when it comes to things like this, to making sure that we have enough poll workers, to making sure that there are accurate counts, to doing common sense things that should have been done a long time ago, like letting big cities with central count locations start processing absentee ballots
soon,
the day before, yes, the election,
yes,
instead of at midnight, because that undermines confidence in the election system. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
And if we can get Republican lawmakers, it is Republicans in Madison who introduced a bill recently that would change the way that they process absentee ballots. That's a good thing. And so I do think there are pragmatic, reasonable Republicans who can look at some of these very common sense, very straightforward things that have to do with strengthening the election system. Maybe we can get them on board. I don't know. Am I being too optimistic on a Wednesday?
Compromise is a dirty word. You're weak. You're spineless.
Gets you kicked out of the speaker show.
It gets you primaried. It gets you. You're a rhino. You're a rhino if you compromise.
Then how did Joe Biden get a bipartisan vote on infrastructure? And how did he get a bipartisan vote on the CHIPS Act? How did he get bipartisan gun safety legislation for the first time in 30 years?
Because they were afraid of Nancy Pelosi? I don't know.
Well, no, this is after it. These are the three big pieces of legislation.
After the Republicans took over.
That's, you know, so I mean, I don't know.
I don't know.
What do you think? 844-967-2789. Give us a call. Give us a text. I don't know. It is easy to be despondent and frustrated. So sometimes you have to choose to be hopeful. And that's what I'm choosing today. Because I don't think this should be that difficult. You know?
Absolutely. It shouldn't be that difficult.
And yet it is.
And because there is so much self-interest involved. There just is. And when we talk about gerrymandering, and we've talked about how the Democrats have seriously gerrymandered Illinois, at least on this show, we don't want that either. It's not right. It's correct. Not fair. It's wrong.
Yeah. What's the term I'm looking for? The incentive structures are not conducive to good policy outcomes these days.
Exactly.
And so one of the other things that I would say I'm curious about, I don't know where I come down, maybe Greg does, maybe you do, ranked choice voting.
We've talked about that quite a bit.
Any consensus?
I don't know if Greg, if we've reached a consensus, but I do find it, I like the idea.
The theory is, so the ranked choice voting, you could do away with the primary, the partisan primaries.
Right.
Right. Because one of the problems may be that when only Republicans and the most Republicans are choosing their nominees, you've basically got like 15-20% of the public selecting the choice.
Right.
Same thing on the Democratic
side. Absolutely.
You've got the most Democratic Democrats voting for their nominees.
Right.
And now we've got two candidates on polar opposites. If you throw every candidate, regardless of party, into one big basket, and then you ask the voters to rank them.
Which one do you like most to least?
And who do you like second most? Who are you willing to stomach, even if, you know, they're not your favorite? One of the theory of the case is that could lead to more representatives who are closer to the middle.
Instead of fringe.
Yeah, getting rid of the Matt Gaetzes and the Lauren Bobos.
And the Paul Gosars.
And getting folks who are willing to understand that half a loaf is better than no loaf, right? Who understand that in a negotiation and a compromise, no one's going to get everything that they want.
How do you think politicians view ranked choice voting, though? On both sides.
I think change is really, really hard, right? People who have succeeded in one system are not going to be necessarily eager.
Yeah, let's do this.
To throw out the current system. One of the things, my crazy idea has always been, like, if you wanted to pass laws changing campaign finance or the way elections are run, that maybe you would have more success if you put that before a legislative body and said it will take effect in 20 years or in 25 years, presumably after many of them have moved on, and then they're not actually legislating their future, they're legislating somebody else's. Crazy?
I don't think it's crazy, but I think I don't mean to yuck your yum.
you live to yuck yums.
On fun basis, but this is voting. This is serious. I think what could and probably would happen is that you'd have a class of people, not a class, but like a group of people coming in 20 years saying, well, that's the first thing we're striking down. You did it to us. Well, that's fine. We're just going to all come together and just take, it's gone. I mean, that is
a yucked yum.
But why should we accept harder conditions than our predecessors had?
Right? I don't know that it's harder. Some of it could be easier. For example, on the campaign finance stuff, listen, if you're like a first or second term member of Congress, I'm here to tell you, they spend hours every day on the phone dialing for dollars.
So wrong.
That's not fun.
And it's not productive. It's,
yeah.
I have so many thoughts on extended terms, term limits. So like you say, you know, I would, first of all, Congress members should be 4 years. 2 years is not, I mean, especially now with dialing for dollars, you just can't get anything done.
So you want the House to go to 4 year terms.
Just keep the Senate at six and put term limits on both.
What about the presidency?
Presidency, keep it the same. It's fine. I'm good with that.
If we're really getting crazy, I'd say four for the House, eight for Senate, and like five for president. Because I think that would...
5 terms?
No, 5 years.
5 years.
5 year term.
Hmm.
And then what's the term limit?
Two term max.
Okay.
10 years.
Yep. Because right now, the way it's set up, particularly with the House, is that every 2 years, we're in a permanent campaign.
Yeah.
And campaigning is not necessarily conducive to governing and legislating.
Absolutely.
And I'm not sure how you unwind those things unless you change some of the frequency with which folks go to the polls.
Well, and I think that's part of what exhausts people as well. It's like, geez, we just did this. And now we have another election. Now we're going to do this again and be inundated with, my opponent is a scum-sucking dick. And, you know, it's exhausting. And I think I don't mind the 4 year terms in the House.
I take this stuff very, very seriously. I don't say any of this glibly. I get that that's really, really hard. And to anybody who says, well, this is the way we've always done it. No, it's not. It's not. We didn't have direct election of United States senators for a big chunk of this nation's history. We changed the way it was done. It used to be done by state legislatures. Now it is done by the people voting for the U.S. Senate.
Which is never an excuse anyways to say that's always how we've done it. That's
right. I hate that answer.
Well, junk.
And it's refreshing to know that, gosh, things can be changed.
Yeah, the Republic lived to tell about it.
Amazing.
You know, isn't that something?
I'm shocked.
What do you think? 844-967-2789. We got about 15 minutes left in today's show. What do we got here from the text line? We may only cast votes 4 times a year, but each season lasts 3 years. Oh, yeah, because sometimes the elections start before the next one, right?
Like, oh, yeah.
So but even before the midterms, we knew that Ron DeSantis was going to run for president,
yep.
For example. That's going really well for him, I hear.
It so well.
He is so fascinating and charming. I wish I could vote for him.
The charisma is just oozing off of DeSantis.
Ron, no normal human smiles like this, DeSantis.
Yeah, I'm stealing this material from someone else who I can't think of at the moment. Maybe it's just a straight tweet. People thought that Ron DeSantis was going to be Donald Trump without the baggage. Turns out he's Jeb Bush without the charisma. That's a deep cut.
Please clap.
You got to remember, please clap.
Oh, yes.
Jeb Bush to get that one. We have one more segment to go on the other side of the break here on As Goes Wisconsin. I'm Joe. She's Jane. Greg's on the board. We appreciate you riding with us. We appreciate the leadership of former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. Still in the fight, making sure people can have their voices heard. If you want your voice heard, give us a ring. 844-967-2789. We'll be back.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get to around 71 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the southwest at around 10 to 20 today. Clear tonight, 51 tomorrow. Partly cloudy, cooler 65 than on Friday. Cloudy, showers, breezy, and a lot colder with a high on Friday of only 50. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 67.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. See, I got it that time.
Well done.
This is Joseph Pecky. I'm here with Jane Matner and Greg Bach. We are coming to you live from the studios of 540 AM WAUK The Shaw. Man, the 2 hours flies by.
It really does.
How are we almost done here?
I know. We got the last break.
Last break. Segment. Ready for your calls and texts. 844-967-2789. First up, we've got Ken. Ken, what's on your mind?
There's kind of a both sides do it thing about the gerrymandering because of Illinois, and that's playing by the rules. The House of Representatives under Nancy Pelosi set up a bipartisan redistricting bill, and if 10 Republicans in the Senate would have voted for it, it would be law, and there wouldn't be any of the kind of gerrymandering we're seeing now. So, I mean, the Democrats don't want to do that, but they don't have a choice. Otherwise, they won't have any power in the Congress. So I guess just want to be clear about that.
Thanks for that, Ken.
Appreciate it, Ken.
Yeah, it's an important point. I mean, the rules are what they are. I do think, you know, where I would maybe quibble with both sides ism on this is that the only party that's acting in any kind of good faith and trying to put an end to it is Democrats.
Yes.
Right. It was, you know, if you needed 10 Senate Republicans to break a filibuster to get that done. It wasn't Nancy Pelosi's fault that, you know, Mitch McConnell and his buddies in the Senate are intransigent. But here we are. Greg, we got somebody else on the line there.
Yep, we got Jake from Eureka, California. Jake, what's going on?
Oh, I thought it was Jake from State Farm.
Hey, how's it going? I'd like to respond to the subject of term limits on members of the House of Representatives. I think 4 years, not enough time. I think that 10 years is probably, you know, appropriate as far as a term limit on the members from the House. Maybe 12 years on a U.S. senator. And speaking of the Speaker of the House, why don't we just elect them by popular vote? Since you know, if you know, we were unlucky enough to have the President and the Vice President both pass away on the same day, it's the Speaker of the House who will become President. Don't we, you know, deserve the right as the people to vote as to who that person is going to be? I think every 4 years we should have a new Speaker of the House, and it should be voted on by national popular vote, just like we vote for president. We don't need to get the Electoral College involved in this. Just simply, you know, pick the person who wins the most votes nationally every 4 years, and they're Speaker of the House for 4 years.
Now, there's a radical idea. What do you think, Jane?
Well, and again,
not another election.
We love voting here.
But Jake, so who would the nominees for Speaker? How would those nominees be selected that people would be voting on? Because my concern. My concern is that there was a competition in England to name this boat.
Bodie McBoatface.
And they named it Bodie McBoatface. So I just want to know.
I see nothing wrong with this.
Where these nominees are going to come from, who's going to pick the nominees, because otherwise we're going to end up with four humans and a Bodie McBoatface up for Speaker of the House. Yeah,
That's a good point. I agree. I don't know. But that kind of reminds me when Houston got their NFL expansion franchise and they let the public vote on it. And that's how they got named the Texans by popular.
That's awesome.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks, Jake.
It is often said, particularly when there's controversy around the speakership, that you don't have to be a member of the U.S. House of Representatives to be Speaker of the House.
You don't have to be an elected official at all.
You don't have to be a lawyer or a judge to be a member of the Supreme Court.
You don't.
And when you guys are talking about this, I have an idea.
Who you got?
The Speaker of the House is only employs citizens. You have to apply. There's a rigorous process. It's 2 years. You get, if you have a job, all right, your job will be waiting for you. It's almost like jury duty.
Oh.
It's compulsory.
So we're just picking a name out of a hat?
Picking a name out of a hat. You gotta, you know, if you are of a certain age and you have a certain, like, yeah, and everyone, you can apply, you can be like, I just want to do it. And then you won't, of course, get it. But then there'll be like, you know, 500 to 1,000 people who will really want it. Go from there. And we pick the Speaker of the House and they serve 2 years. And then they get the full view of what happens in that cesspool.
I've got some other suggestions for compulsory public service. I'm not sure I would go right to Speaker of the House. And
well, you don't have the vision I do, Joe.
No, I can't. From down here, I can't see. You're a tall guy.
Ooh, self-burn.
No, listen. Not a lot of people have to work with 434 other people every day.
True. And right. get consensus among right. all of and these that, people.
It's like 434 people who are ostensibly at the same level, right? There's not upper management, middle management, and then the worker bees that make the world go round. It's a tough gig. And so I understand why you want somebody from the body who understands some of those dynamics. And listen, like when it's Kevin McCarthy that we're focused on, you go, man, what a miserable job. And a lot of his colleagues, oh, no, nobody could do this job. It's too hard. But then I would remind people, Nancy Pelosi, she got it done.
For a long time.
And listen, and I would argue that the Democratic Party has a wider spectrum of, you know, of represented officials. And she was able to corral that caucus in a way that, in retrospect, looks even better. Right?
Oh, I mean,
yeah. She was a historic speaker, not just because she was the first woman to do it, but because of how reliable she was and the incredible legislation that she was able to get passed while she was speaker. So it's not that nobody can do it. Maybe it's just that no Republican can do it.
I mean, working in Democratic politics like I have and you have, hurting Democrats is cats. Like,
oh, it's tough.
Everywhere. And just like trying to please everyone and trying to make sure everyone's happy. And it's hard.
Yeah. And this is one of the, we'll leave it here for today, that when it comes to what we saw yesterday in Washington, this was perhaps the culmination of a 12-year war inside the Republican Party.
Yes.
That ever since the Tea Party uprising, you've seen the ouster of John Boehner. You've seen Paul Ryan have to kind of swoop in. You've seen Kevin McCarthy go down in flames. This fight inside the Republican conference has been a long time coming. And I don't think it's going to resolve itself this week. And I don't even know if it's going to get resolved next week. They've got a lot to figure out on their side of the house. In the spirit of service to this country, let's hope that they come to some kind of conclusion, because in like 37 or 38 days,
we're back.
Yep. Got to get the government open.
Yep.
And, you know, that's just among the challenges we face. Among the challenge we faced today was musical chairs. I was Joe Zupacki in for Jane Mattenair. Jane Mattenair was here anyways, even though I was in for her, and then Greg Bach was in for her, but
we were all here.
We figured it out.
We did figure it out.
Was all here. We had a very important listener. Frankie was checking us out.
Yes.
Got a text from Kristen. We miss Kristen. Can't wait to have her back. We may get a little taste
next
of Kristen
week.
Next week.
Next week.
You got to come on back to As Goes Wisconsin. Check it out every day on the Civic Media Radio Network. Check out the podcast, YouTube. You name it, you can find it. If you can't find it, you're not looking hard enough.
Exactly.
This has been As Goes Wisconsin on a Wednesday. Thanks for coming along with us.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe. and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
93.5, The Tap. 93.5, The Tap. You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.